to was like 177 men at the prison. It was an awesome experience. If you've never been and you feel like God is pulling on your heart to go out there and just say hi to them, you know, just something, I'm sure that would be okay with Brother Martin. Just make sure and check with him, because you don't want to go out there unexpected. Amen. They might keep you. Amen. Well, I'm not going to be very long tonight. Y'all know that I'm not a very lengthy preacher. But especially tonight, I've got something that I believe God has laid on my heart. I'm going to get into it, get right with it, and get it out of the way so God can have His way. Amen? If you will, stand with me tonight. Turn to Acts chapter 17, and verse number 6. And the Athens that I'm fixing to talk about is not Athens, Texas. But if you use your imagination and you think about what I'm reading about as it being Athens, Texas, it will probably convict you, just like it did me. It will probably grab a hold to your heart, Brother Chris, and it will do something for you. It will grab your heart and grab your mind. Acts chapter 17 and verse 16. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. His spirit was stirred inside of him. My spirit is stirred inside of me tonight, church, because we have lost people out there. We have lost families out there. And yet we go about our day in and day out, day in and day out, doing the same things, but we're not reaching people. We're not witnessing to people. Some of you are, and if you are, the Lord knows, and Lord bless you. But some of us are not, and I'm preaching to myself. Our spirit needs to be stirred up inside of us, church, when we see the things going on. Idolatry is going on. Adultery is going on. Fornication is going on. The things that the Bible preaches against and teaches us against is going on in our world today. Hollywood, like you said, Sister Covey, it's full of it. It's horrible. It is ruining our world. It's putting things in our young people's mind, in our older people's mind, in our elders' mind that, oh, it's okay to do that. No, it's not. The Bible preaches against that. It teaches us against that. It is not okay. A sin is a sin is a sin. Amen? And our spirit should be stirred up inside of us. Amen. Acts chapter 17 and verse 22. Then Paul stood up in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious." Verse 23, "For as I passed by and behold your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." My title of my message tonight is The Unknown God. The Unknown God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this service tonight. God, I ask you that you would minister to us. Minister through me, Lord Jesus, to somebody's heart tonight, Lord God. Let us be stirred up, Lord Jesus. God, let us be changed in this place tonight. I ask you in Jesus' name, Lord God, to have your way in this service. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Here we have a sermon to the heathens that had gone away and worshipped false gods. He was trying to make a point to them that there is only one true God, and him shalt thou worship alone. It is very sad to see that Athens, that was supposed to be a place of abundance of wisdom, that the true God was the unknown God. And the only God that was unknown. I'm sure that they had idols set up and they were worshiping other things in their life just like we do today, right? You may not say that, well, you know, this thing that I'm doing is an idol in my life, and you may not have it up there where you can see it and you walk by it all the time and you're like, you know, whatever you're going to do, whatever. But if you spend a lot of time with this thing, it can become your idol. It can be something that you worship. I'm telling you, church, I'm preaching to myself, okay? Because there's things in my life that if I'm not careful, that I will let it become my idol. I will let it become a part of me. And Jesus Christ needs to have all of me. He needs to have all the part of me. He needs to have everything of me. I don't need to be giving myself to anything else except for God. And evidently, they had started getting their mind off of Jesus, who was just crucified. They started going backwards. Sister Covey, they started looking back in their past, I'm sure, and thinking, well, you know, it, you know, since Jesus is gone, and, you know, since he's not out there preaching and stuff, you know, and Paul and, you know, Silas and all these guys, they're, you know, who are they? You know, and they started going backwards. They started going back to their old ways. Well, Paul stood up and he started preaching to them, and he said, hey, this is what y'all are doing. Y'all have an altar to the unknown God? What is this? Altar dedicated to the unknown God. Some think the meaning is to the God whose honor is to be unknown. And they intended it to be the God of the Jews whose nature it is to be unsearchable. We find that not to be true, right? Because God wants to be searched. He wants to be found. The Bible says in Luke chapter 11, verse 9, it says, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. God wants to be found. He don't want to become an unknown God. He wants to be known as Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Redeemer, our God, the one that in the Old Testament done all these wonders and miracles, done all these fantastic things. But he's not dead. He's not unknown, church. We know him as Jesus Christ. He is the true King, the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. It's always an awkward moment right there. I tell you tonight that God is deserving of our praise and our worship. Jesus wants to be known. The gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, that is a free gift. It's not pushed upon you, but Jesus is offering that gift. That is our salvation, church. We know that, but do we teach it? Do we teach it to our friends at school? Do we teach it to our coworkers? Do we teach it to our neighbors? Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 22, Paul continues his preaching. He says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelling not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. Seeing he giveth to all life and breathe in all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell all in the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bonds of their inhabitant. He's sitting there preaching this to them. And I want you to grab it, so that's why I'm reading it to you. 27, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. The Bible says that he's as close as the mention of his name, Jesus. Boom, he's there. If you're in trouble, you speak the name of Jesus. If you're about to have a car accident, speak the name Jesus. Anything comes along in your life that you don't understand, or that you're like, God, why is this happening to me? Speak the name of Jesus. And he's going to be there. We seek after him, and he is going to be there for us. We know that name, that Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse number 28. For in him we live and move and have our being. Told my class this morning that, you know, isn't it awesome how God gave all of us a gift this morning? They were looking at me like, oh, I received a gift this morning. We got out of bed to take a breath. God gave that to us. God gave us that breath this morning. Amen? And have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Verse 29. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think of the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art or man's device. Wow. Wow. We don't need to think of God have something that, you know, we can just use and stick in the bank somewhere. If you had a whole bunch of gold, you wouldn't carry around gold in your pocket, you know what I'm saying, weighing your stuff down. Keep in the bank somewhere. Keep it safe. God is not like that. God is not going to weigh you down. Amen? Problems of life weigh you down. Satan weighs you down, but Jesus doesn't. Jesus lifts you up. He encourages you. He gets you back on the straight path. He is not an unknown God tonight, church. Amen. He is the Almighty. Verse number 30. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. He's commanding us to repent. Jesus Christ is requiring us to repent of our sins. Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 44. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. I know that Brother Grissom was talking about this last Sunday night, but it got a hold of me, and I was just thinking, man, you know, God, how holy, like you're holy. Because he was perfect. Did not sin in any way. Walked this earth. Day after day after day after day. And I barely get through a day without doing something bad. How did he go all his life without doing something? But we need to pray. We need to ask God, God, teach me to be holy. Help me to be holy, God. Because I want to be righteous in his sight, not in man's sight. I do care your opinions and what you think about me. But when we come to church, I could care less what you think about me. You know, if I want to get out here and run around and look like an idiot, well, I'm doing it for God. Amen? Amen. I want to be holy. The Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21 shows us that we don't have an unknown God. And she shall bring forth the son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Not the people, but it says his people. We are his people. And that same Jesus has came to save us from our sins. We know that unknown God. It is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the unknown God. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Sorry, Brother Kevin, I'm keeping you busy back there. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. This is my dad's favorite scripture out of the whole Bible. He's always quoting this. Always quoting this. And I love it. It's good. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So in other words, what you can think or what you can ask of, God can do exceedingly more, abundantly more. There's a catch in this verse though. According to the power that worketh within us. How much power do you have working in you? Brother Cameron, how much power do you have working in you? Brother Caleb, how much power do you have working in you? Our expectations are high. This morning when I got up out of bed, my expectation was high. Man, I was like, woo, we're going to have church today. I get to go teach my Sunday school class. I get to go preach tonight. Amen. Expectations are high. In order for you to have things in and for God to have his way and for the power to work in your life, your expectation must be high. The power of God working within you must be high. Come on, church, we have to have a high expectation. Our spirit has to be stirred up within us. Hallelujah. Our job is to help save the lost. We can't do it on our own, because if we could, everybody would be saved. Me and Brother Martin would make sure of that. But we can't, but we can help. We can testify. We can invite them to church. Amen? There are a lot of people out there who are satisfied with their life. Amen? A lot of people out there. Some people you testify to, you try to witness to, they're just, yeah, I know one of these days God's coming back. I realize that. at that time, I'll, you know, hopefully there's a chance. Hopefully there's a chance. We're talking about eternity here. You're hoping? Hoping you have a chance? If they only knew that there is no hoping to eternity. It's not just for a couple of days or for a couple of hours or just for a couple of years. It's for eternity. We're going to spend the rest of our days somewhere. Once you pass on from this life, you're going to spend your days somewhere. You can't just hope that there's time in the end. Told you it wasn't going to be very long. Romans chapter 8 and verse 39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This tells me right here that it doesn't matter how high things are. Doesn't matter how big things are. You think Satan, oh man, he's big and he has these little horns on him, you know, and he's like, where's red? The Bible tells us right here, nor any creature. Satan is a creature. Amen? He didn't just pop up out of nowhere and say, oh, hey, here I am. I'm going to be the bad guy. He didn't do that. God created him. He created us. The Bible says that, my mind just went blank, but the Bible does say it. That something about that, oh man, Jesus' name, you know what I'm trying to say. But we have more power working in us than is out there in the world. Amen. Yes, sister, thank you. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Satan is in that world, church. Even though occasionally he does come into church. You know that? Or he sends some of his little angels or imps or whatever and says, hey, go talk to Cameron. He had a bad day. This is what he had a bad day about, so go talk to him about it. Go tell him that he shouldn't be on the platform because, you know what you've been doing. The mercy of God. The mercy of God. God forgives. His grace. His grace. Let's stand tonight. I don't ever want to get to a point, church, that these altars are dedicated to a unknown God or to the unknown God. But it has to be dedicated to Jesus Christ. He's the one that's able to save us. He's the one that's able to forgive us of our sins. He's the one that's able to wash away those sins when we go down and be baptized in the name of Jesus. And if you look back at Acts chapter 17 and verse 23, where it says, whom therefore you ignorantly worship. They were ignorantly worshiping God, the unknown God. Whatever they were worshiping, they were ignorantly doing it. They didn't even know how to worship an idol. Ignorantly. It's our job as Christians and as children of God to teach people how to walk, how to pray in the Spirit, how to receive the Holy Ghost. It's our job to teach our young kids how to worship and how to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. God, I ask you in Jesus' name, God, that you would take this simple message, God, and that you would stir somebody's heart here tonight, God. That you would stir up somebody's mind, Jesus. God, that you would get us, Lord God, back on the right path, Lord Jesus. God, and testifying for you, Lord God, and witnessing for you, Jesus. God, and let us not worship the ignorantly worship, God, but let us know exactly what we're doing in the Spirit, Lord God. Let us know how to worship you, Jesus, in spirit and in truth. I ask you, Holy Spirit, Holy God, have your way in this service tonight, Lord God. These altars are open right now for anybody to come down. And if you haven't met the God, and if you still have a question in your life or in your mind, the unknown God. Well, God, I'm not sure exactly who you are. Tonight, I invite you to come and introduce yourself to Jesus Christ. He's not going to push himself upon you. He's a gentleman. His spirit is very gentle, very soft. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, help us, Lord Jesus. God, reveal yourself to us, Lord God, in only a way that we can understand it, Lord God, so then we can go out and testify and witness, Lord God, of your wonders and of your glory and of your miracles, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus, God, for your protection in our life. Thank you, Jesus.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet.